there's this guy that's hanging on a cliff, and he is tethered with a small little, rope, one of those ropes. And how many have felt that way? Like you're hanging on a cliff. I know I have. I know I have recently felt like that. But the Lord is our tether. He's the one that's got a hold of us. We might think we're falling, but the Lord's got us tethered. So I looked at that picture. I even posted it on my Facebook because it really ministered to me that the Lord is in control, no matter what it seems like. I can't hang on no more, God. I can't. I don't have it in me to hang on no more. But the Lord says, hang in there. And my title of my sermon today is Hold Fast, Don't Give Up, Don't Give In. But before I get started, there's a couple of things I like to share. When I, as a woman, begin to share, because how many know there's that scripture in the Word that says women are to be silent in church? So when we have new people, I always like to share it. And I've got some written material that I've put in hours of study with, because we're supposed to look at the Word of God culturally. Do you know, if we lived exactly the way that the Word does, you know, a woman could not come in here unless she was veiled. I wear one piece of gold. We couldn't wear gold. A woman couldn't braid her hair. Men were supposed to dress appropriately. What did they wear back then? Tunics, dresses. So we need to always look at the Word of God culturally. We are commanded to greet each other with a holy kiss. Do we do that? What's our culture? We shake hands. We don't greet each other with a holy kiss. But it's in the Word of God.
In church, we hug.
And we hug. We hug. But so we need, the Word is called, I think some people think too much, but the Word is called exegetically, that we need to look at the Word for the Word itself historically. Everything that we're about to read today in the book of Hebrews was written to Jews who have converted to Christianity. But that was for them then, but now it's for us today, because the Word of God is alive. And even though it was historical and he was speaking to this particular group of people, he also is speaking to us individually. And as we are faithful to read his word, to listen to his word, and then to have his word have its way in us, it alters us. It changes us. But until we agree to be in partnership with the Holy Spirit and say, cleanse me and work this in my life, it falls on deaf ears. And it, as soon as we leave the door sometimes, we forget what we've heard. So, again, my sermon today is hold fast, don't give up, don't give in. I'm amazed at how many people are giving up. I'm amazed at how many people are giving in. And I'm amazed at how many people aren't holding on to their faith, holding on to the truth. And the Lord is good, because the Holy Spirit is there saying, hold on, it's okay. I know you feel like you can't hold on anymore. But he's saying, hold on. He's there for you, wherever you're at. Wherever you're at. In the book of Hebrews, because I want to give you a little cultural background, a little historical background, there are five warnings that he's clearly spoke to these people when he wrote the book of Hebrews, which some say it's Paul. We don't know for sure. We don't know the author. But this I do know. It was divinely inspired by God. The entire word, the entire Bible that we have is inspired by God. So I'm going to go through the five warnings that is through this entire Bible. There's a warning against neglect of our salvation. How many know that we neglect our salvation? We truly do. We are a people that... We take for granted the grace of God. We purpose in our heart. We say on Friday night, I'm going to go out partying. Lord, you'll forgive me in the morning. You're such a gracious God. I love you so much. And then Saturday morning comes and we're pulling out, 1 John 3:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But see, that is neglecting our salvation. That is taking for granted and mocking the grace of God when we do that. We cannot do that. And these warnings are just as clear today as they were yesterday. Another warning is in the book, it's Hebrews 3, starting in verse 7, warning of hardening of the heart. How many have witnessed people with hardening of the heart? Usually people with hardening of the heart, they wear it on their face. Do you know that? Have you ever seen anybody who's really hard? They wear it on their face. So that's the second warning. The third warning, which is really we're going to see pop up, is the warning against the apostasy. That means the falling away from the truth. What we believe is the only truth, the only gospel. So that means there's only one God. You enter heaven through the blood of Jesus. There's no other way but through the blood of Jesus. But as time gets closer and closer, there will be a movement of everybody embracing everything. Everything. And the only people who are going to be out of order is those that say there's one way. But there is only one way. So be careful, because these are times of the apostasy. The apostasy means the great falling away. And when you study that word, it means great. It's not little. We're going to see huge amounts of people fall away from the truth. The fourth warning is the warning against willful sinning. That's in chapter 10, starting in verse 26. The fifth warning is against not listening to God. When you hear the word of God, it's our responsibility to take the word and to nurture it and to have it become alive in us. If not, we're not listening to the Lord. If the Lord says do something, what are we supposed to do? If the Lord says not to do something, what are we supposed to do? So if delayed obedience, is that still obedience? It's almost a catch-22, isn't it? Delayed obedience. So, you know, after a while, it's still not obedience. So obedience is, say, if the Lord, you're in the grocery store, and the Lord says, say to this checker, the Lord Jesus loves you and wants you to come back home. You walk out of that store, and you're thinking, she would have thought I was a nut. And you didn't. So you go back 3 days later, and you find out she's been run over by a car. Delayed obedience. And we can't be a people who walk in delayed obedience. Whatever the Lord says, in fact, our life as a Christian is easy. It's so simple. Do what he says. Don't do what he says not to do. And boy, we walk under his covering. It is awesome. When we walk under his covering, we walk under his anointing. Our salvation is free. His anointing is not. In fact, his protection is not. He doesn't just protect anybody who's off doing their own thing. Let me see it in the Word of God. It's not there. So, those are the five warnings. Because of the title of my sermon, Don't Give Up, Don't Give In, Hold On, I have an old movie that we used to have. I don't know what happened to it. Who has ever seen Iron Will? Go back to like in the mid-90s. Yeah, it's a good movie. So do we have that ready to come up? Until we've got it ready, I'll do some explaining concerning it. This is a real life story. It's a 17-year-old kid. His name is Will, who his father died. And it's up to him now to save the ranch, his ranch. So he enters a dog sled race. It was 522 miles long, over horrible terrain, horrible situations. The biggest problem he dealt with was not the elements of the cold. It was people issues, people that tried to take him out, people who tried to take his lead dog out. It was the people issues that tried to get him. So, do we got it? Okay, let's go ahead and show it. It was there. I seen it back there.
It's Stoneman. It's Stoneman. He's coming out of the woods. Woods a half a mile ahead of the Carries. It's Stoneman.
Get out your checkbook, you skin flame.
Is that my
name? One and only Iron Will.
Thank you.
everybody could see. It wasn't that good. Talk about inspiration, perseverance. Everybody could see his condition. Everybody. But it took one person. The sound was off a little bit, so you really couldn't see the little girl, but it was a little girl that said, "Get up." It was a little girl. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be telling people, "Get up. Get up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Come on. Hold on. We can do it." A very, very inspirational movie. Then the Indian, because you couldn't see it because it was off a little bit, he started to whistle because he knew the dog. The dog's name's Gus, and that was the lead dog, and his father trained him to be stimulated by that whistle. And then everybody came into an agreement. Now, if we see, how many have seen a brother or sister in the last year go backwards, give up? Not seen? If you've seen, that's what you're called to do. Don't wait for it to be somebody else. That we would come along somebody and say, don't give up. Don't give in. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to Jesus. So everybody was there to encourage Will. And he got the perseverance that he needed to be able to stand up and do what he knew he was called to do. If not, his family was going to lose the ranch. He would lose everything. But God knew and carried him so that he could persevere through all of that. And when I was putting this together, I thought, Will, iron, iron, Will, iron, Will. Do you know one of the strongest things in this world is our will? God will never break it. He'll never break our will. Never. Never, ever, not once. That strong thing that is so strong, it can keep us out of a lot of things if we turn it for good and don't let the world entice us. Don't let the things come and... So we make our will strong so that we don't do the things God's called us to do. Hold fast, don't give up, don't give in. Hebrews 3:6. And I'd really like, if you've got your Bibles, to turn there. Because I am a firm believer, the Word is alive. It's alive. And if we let it have its way with us, it does transform us. So let's open up our word. Hebrews 3:6.
Can I share a little story about last night?
Yes, yes.
Last night, about 9 o'clock, I met my daughter down at Albertson's to pick her up. She had spent the day with her boyfriend, and we meet there because he comes from Blue River. It's 9 o'clock at night, actually 9:03 to be exact, because I looked at my clock. And we pulled up to McDonald's because they were getting something from McDonald's, and she'd gone in to get me an ice cream, and they came out. She says, would I want somebody that was kind-hearted, that she just happened to be there? I mean, it just was a fluke that we both were there like that.
Well, let's lift them up in prayer. Lord, we lift this woman up to you and her husband. Lord, may you give them the finances that they need for the surgery. Lord, if they do not know you, Lord, we pray that what happened last night ministered to their souls. Lord, that their spirits would come alive. We thank you for your grace and your mercy and how when we are the gospel, Lord, it ministers to people. So, Lord, go before them in your name. Thank you for sharing. That was good. Okay, Hebrews 3:6. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are. So who's the house of God? We are. We are. If we hold fast to our confidence and to the boast of our hope firm until the end. So we can't give up, we can't give in, and we surely should be holding on. We hold on to our confidence. Our confidence comes because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that he died for us. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us our confidence. If we have confidence in anything else but what Jesus has done, we're going to fall. Our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done and what he's about ready to do in this town, in this church, in you. I am a firm believer. It's not people who stand up. It's the body of Christ. It's the household of God that God's going to minister to. But we need to be able to have understanding of that. Okay, let's go down to verse 12. Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil and unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. So don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. You know, God will never give up on you. When people accept the Lord, because I, you know, once I accepted the Lord, I got into the Word. And I never read before that. I mean, I cheated in every book report. You know, you read the dust cover, and you do your book report. So uneducated, I really was. But when I came to know the Lord, I devoured the Word. I got into the Word. And I came to a quick understanding that Christianity is not a tee-hee fun thing. But there are some that I've seen who have accepted the Lord. They don't understand really what it means. It means you just entered into the war zone. It's not that, you know, now I have no problems. It is that we fight tooth and nail to hold on to the ground that was given to us by the blood of Jesus. But I've also seen people who have decided to say, this Christianity thing doesn't work. And they give up on God. And that's because they've been given a false gospel. If you read the Word of God, it's nothing like what Christians believe it is today. What it is to be a disciple, a disciplined one. It's not anything like what the world has to say. Verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So we are to encourage one another. We're to say, get up. Come on, you can do this. But you know what I find people do? Excuse me while I do this. I find people do, well, she wouldn't be falling if she didn't read her Word more. She needed to read her Word more. If she was in church more, she wouldn't be falling. If she didn't go to that place, she wouldn't be falling. That's not what we're called to do. We need to take off our judge hat. Who wears the judge hat? God. Take off our judge hat. Let him have it. He does so much better with his judge hat. Our job is to encourage one another. And it's really interesting. It says, as long as it is still called. Boy, that's huge. Because it's always going to be called today. isn't it? So how often are we supposed to be encouraging one another? Every day. But I'm telling you, it doesn't happen. People are not encouragers. And we have to be a people that encourage people, that come alongside of somebody. I called somebody not too long ago, and I said, this is what the Lord's telling me, because I couldn't let it go. And I know it sounds strange, but after she heard what I said, she said, thank you. The Lord said to my spirit, because we all, if we've accepted Christ, we have his spirit, and you can hear from him. You don't need to be licensed to hear from the Lord Jesus. He wanted me to tell her, this is just a sidestep. You haven't backslidden yet. It's just a sidestep. Come on home. Come on home. And that ministered to her. But see, to me, it sounded stupid. I'm going, she's going to think I'm crazy. But when we do what God tells us to do, it's powerful. It is powerful because he sees. He's got the x-ray right on us, individually. Nothing is hidden under the eyes of God. He's got the x-ray right on us. Deceitfulness of sin. Do you know when we're walking in intentional sin, it's a deceitful spirit that comes upon us. So we don't see clearly. That's why it says remove the beam from your eye without trying to take the mote from your brother's eye, because you can't see clearly. It says remove what you have in there, because again, I'm a very visual person. That's why I pray with my eyes open. People always say, why is she praying with her eyes open? Because I'm a visual person. So I have this vision of with this big log sticking out of people's eyes, just knocking people over, trying to get the mote out of people's eyes. But God is so good. If we cleanse the beam that's out of our eye, we can clearly see there's no deceitfulness. We can clearly see to come alongside of a brother and sister in the Lord and say, come on, get up. Because that's what we should be saying. Get up. Hold on. Verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ if, there's that conditional word, if we hold fast at the beginning of our assurance, firm until the end. Firm until the end. Our assurance that we got from the beginning. What is that? Our salvation. Remember when you first got saved? There was such an assurance. Man! The enemy hadn't had time yet to beat on you. Nobody's whooped on you. You were cleansed. Like, you couldn't, nothing could fall off of you. Nothing. So we need to, at the beginning of our race, because some of us are at the beginning of our race. Some of us are at the middle of our race. Some are at the end of their race. Only God knows what part of the race we're in. And we need to say, Lord, just keep me in the race. Just keep me in the race. It doesn't matter. But after you've entered a race one time and you go, wow, look what I have to deal with. You go, I think I might need some training. This movie, if you get a chance, find the movie. He went through rigorous training. I mean, it was amazing what he went through to be able to do what he did. To go 522 miles. He had to train. And that's what we're supposed to be doing right now. Training. Okay. Hebrews 4, verse 2. For indeed we have good news preached to us, just as also, but the word... I'm going to start over. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. So if what you hear, whether it be a sermon going down the road, a sermon on a Sunday, if you don't unite it with faith, like I was saying at the beginning, and have it come to be part of you, it doesn't profit you at all. It's right there in the Word. Isn't that good? That is so good. So when we hear a word, you men might not be able to relate, but it's like when a woman receives and is pregnant, she nurtures that pregnancy. We take care of ourselves. When we receive a word, that's what we're called to do. Nurture that thing. Say, Lord, work it in me. Work it in me. Lord, get in there. Get into all those nooks and crannies. Work that in me. Again, I'm just taking you through a journey through the book of Ephesians. I love the word so much that we can journey it together. So I'm just going to quickly go through this. I have my favorite book is Ephesians, but this is a very rich book also. Let's go down to verse 12. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul, spirit, and both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes, to whom we have to do. I mean, how awesome is that? That we know that when we read the word, it does divide our intentions. It does divide our motives. Because when we get to heaven, it says that the Lord will say to some people, wait, we'll say, not hopefully, not us, but there will be those who say, Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me? And he's, didn't I do this? And didn't I do this? And didn't I do this? He's going to say, leave me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. Because they never let the word get into every nook and cranny. We have to let the Lord have his way with us with the word and cleanse us and change us. I always say that who I am today and who you are today shouldn't be who we are tomorrow, with the Holy Spirit touching our lives. Hebrews chapter 5. Concerning him, we have much to say. Oh, we're in the place of... I wanted to explain about the start of the race first before we go to that, because that's on maturity. I'm not in maturity yet. I'm still at counting the cost of entering the race. When you say yes to Jesus, you enter the race. We're there. Things start to discourage us. We get hammered on by the enemy. We get hammered on by those that don't understand our faith. We just get hammered on by situations. We see unrighteous prevailing in unjust ways. We see the unrighteous prospering, and we go, this isn't fair. I've been walking with the Lord for 26 years, and I'm here to tell you, God's just, but things just aren't fair. Truly, truly, things aren't fair. And if you're looking for fair, you've entered the wrong race. We've got to know that what we've walked into, it's not something that's fair. So counting the cost of the race, I was going to give an example of a close friends of ours from Bend. This woman, when she comes here, you look at her and you go, wow, this is one buffed woman. I mean, the muscles on her legs are amazing. The muscles on her arms are just amazing. It's Karen and Edward. She just did a 3-month where she rode her bicycle 4,300 miles. I wouldn't even want to drive it. No. Would you? I wouldn't even want to drive it. But she on her bicycle. Now, it's like a $2,000 bicycle. But I wouldn't even want... But this woman has counted the cost of entering and doing what she has done. They spent the night at our house around 5 months ago, and she was going on a practice run. It was 80 miles for the day. I'm going, oh my goodness, you're nuts. But see, that's what, and she prays over the towns as she's going through. She's praying. She's leaving the Holy Spirit as she's doing this. But that woman has counted the cost, and we need to be people who count the cost. After we get hammered on, usually the enemy comes and puts shame on us, doesn't he? Remember when I was a little girl, they'd go, shame on you. Shame on you. But God never puts shame on us. Never. Other people put shame on us, but God would never put shame on us. Never, ever, ever does he put shame on us. So when somebody goes to put shame on us, I say we need to, like, don't even wear it. Because you can see people not only who walk in bitterness, but you can see people who walk in shame, can't you? So I, when shame starts, I go, okay, you're right. Saying you're right, I blew it. I repent. Shame, get out of here. Shame, get out of here. But if we choose to wear the shame, we'll give up, we'll give in, and we can't hold on to our faith. So we need to be people who don't give in to the shame. Now, the second part of entering the race is the training. The book of Hebrews, if you were to say a common thread, a common theme, is maturity, obedience, but really maturity. The Lord was saying to these groups of people, the same way he's saying to us, mature, grow up. How many would know how ridiculous I would look if I still... They used to call me Footsie Mambo. For you that were not, that aren't, there was a dance called the Mambo. And at a very young age, I liked to dance. Well, I would look really stupid as being 56 years old and still acting like an infant. It's the same thing spiritually. We cannot be people who are immature in the Lord. Or it looks funny. You go, whoa, that person's 40 years old in the Lord. Wow, that person's 20 years old in the Lord. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. God calls us to maturity. Hebrews 5, chapter 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. You know why people become dull of hearing? Because just like in chapter 4, verse 2, we haven't united what we've heard with our faith. We haven't come into agreement. We've heard it, but we haven't come into agreement with it. So it falls on deaf ears. Week after week after week, what we're hearing is falling on deaf ears because we haven't united with the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 of chapter 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles and oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. So, again, as believers, the solid food means I feed myself. You know how many times I've seen people leave churches? Well, they're not feeding me. Well, how old are you? Oh, I'm 20-some years old in the Lord. Well, you should be feeding yourself. Nobody else should be feeding you. We feed babes. We feed babes in Christ. Now, if somebody just accepted the Lord and they're 60 years old, they're a babe. I'm 26 years old. That's my true age. How old are you? We've all been given an actual physical birth date and a spiritual birth date. I'm a believer. Our spiritual birth date is more important than our birth date. So, we need to acquire an appetite for solid food, because babies are fed milk and we're not called to feed those that are mature. We should be in the Word, digging ourselves. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, that's not me saying that. That's the word of God saying that. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, because of what? Practice, have their senses trained to discern that which is good and evil. If we don't live by the principles of God, and we're practicing them, we have to live by the principles of God, practicing them. If we don't, we can't discern between good and evil. How many know that the word says there's coming a day that they will say that which is good is evil and that which is evil is... Are we there?
Yeah.
We're there. Okay. Again, we're just journeying through the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19, since therefore we have confidence, who do we have confidence in? Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. We don't have confidence in ourselves. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, who's the house of God? We are. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance in faith. There's that confidence again. In faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. So we need to hold fast to our faith, hold on to the word, let it be the standard we're living. For he who's promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking the assembling together, as is the habit of some, but what? Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How many know the day's drawing near? It really is, you guys. We really need to be encouraging one another. It's so needed. And it says, not forsaking the assembling. When we come together, I call it barnacle removers. The Word of God calls it as iron sharpens iron. But I call it barnacles. So as we get together, and if we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us, and don't run, don't give up, we get together and we start rubbing off each other's barnacles. It's very good, but it feels horrible. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing to rub each other's barnacles off. But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come into the presence of that so that we go, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I wasn't going to go here because I had so many scriptures, but there's two scriptures. This is the thing on saying no intentional sin. God does not just flippantly look at intentional sin. The next two verses. For if we go on willfully, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Serious. That's pretty serious, you guys. I've heard of people who don't even, that's why I had to read it, because people don't want to say that. Well, what do you mean? God says it's sufficient. God said it was finished. But if we keep on taking to the cross intentional sin, what does it say? There no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. You know why? Because we're mocking God. And he knows it. Because again, the x-ray comes out and he's x-raying Friday night. Lord, I'm going to go here. Tomorrow you're going to forgive me. Boy, that's a hard verse. It's a hard verse. Okay, let's go to verse 35, chapter 10. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Who's our confidence in? Jesus, which has a great reward. If we finish this race, there's going to be a great reward. Don't give up. Don't give in. And we need to hold on to what the Lord is doing. So much of what the Lord is doing, so much is not the enemy, but it's the Lord doing his thing. It says, judgment begins in the house of God. Thinking of the scripture with wrinkle, he comes for a bride without spot or wrinkle. How do we remove wrinkles? An iron, heat. You get it? You see what God's doing? Yes, sometimes we're in battle, but many times it's the Lord wanting to work on something, and we go, ooh, I don't want anyone to touch that. God, that's been hidden for years. He puts his hand back on it because he wants us without spot or wrinkle. It is awesome when we say, God, take all of me. Take everything, every nook and cranny. Lord, take it from me. And he brings that x-ray thing out and he scans us and says, there, Lord, take it. I want you to take that too. Take that. You can have it. I freely give it to you. Lord Jesus, I freely give it to you. Because if we don't freely give it, that's when the problems happen. Chapter 11, verse 1. I love the word of God. For faith is the assurance of things hoped for the convictions of things not seen. The book of Romans says faith comes by by the word of God. So if you're not in the word and you have no faith, whose fault is that? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's what our truth is. And if we're not living by the biblical standard, then we are we're empty and we're lost people. That was a bonus. Chapter 12, verse 11. Oh, whoa. Yeah, I've got, okay. This is really the race thing. So I'm going to go verse 1. I'm going to read real fast. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witness surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race and let us that is set before us. Do you know the race that is set before you is this different race that is set before me? We're in different races. So it says, run with endurance the race that is set before us. He's got us in different races. But what the enemy does is he wants us to look over here, and he wants to look over here, and he wants us to look in the back. We're to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, and not to be looking around what somebody else has. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And see, that wasn't the Father that put that shame on him. That was people. That was people. And sat down at the right hand of the throne. For consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. So don't give up. Wherever you're at, and the Lord knows, don't give up. Don't give in, and hold on to what you have been given so far. Now, continuing in training, verse 11, all discipline for a moment seems not joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been what by it? Trained by it. Trained. Afterwards, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness. So does it say everybody's going to be trained by it? No, only those that yield to it, period. One of the things that has really been on my heart, because I've just been so busy, is I wanted to pick some blackberries. I wanted to get some in our freezer, but it didn't work. So the Lord started speaking to me that just how there is fruit rotting on the vine, so be it with our life. That if we're not faithful to be obedient to what he's saying, fruit will rotten on our vine. And Lord, let it not be that we would be people who would let people pick our fruit. Therefore, strengthen the hands of the weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight the paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be pulled out of joint, but rather healed. Because that's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be healed. How many we have a joint that's out? Could be a physical, but I believe he's talking about spiritual here. We're disjointed, and we're running in this race hurt, wounded, handicapped. And so the Lord is saying, let him heal the disjoint. Let him heal it. Pursue peace with some men, all men, and the sanctification which no one will see the Lord. So if we don't do what he's called, we won't see the Lord, because sanctification, we are sanctified when we receive his Spirit. See that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, it may be defiled. So I'm going to show you a it's like a 2-minute film clip on how somebody did not get bitter, but how they chose to the circumstances that they have. You're going to love it. You're going to love this, because we aren't living in hard times according to what this one guy is doing, but he has chosen to spiritually hurdle his circumstances, what he's been born with, and the cards he's been dealt.
At age 8, I wanted to end my life. I told my mom I wanted to commit suicide, and at age 10, I actually tried. I felt like I had no hope to live. I felt like I was so different to everybody else, and there was definitely no future or hope for me. If I gave up thinking that that was the end, man, I would have missed out on so much more. Life is life. There are lots of successes, but also lots of failures, and it repeats itself again and again. Should we really despair every time we go through, you know, a failure?
I wasn't ready.
I have no arms and no legs, but I'm very thankful that I have my little chicken drumstick here. People freak out when they see me for the first time. It's so cool. I was at a water slide all by myself. Everyone obviously at the bottom of the slide is looking
running
when
slow
other
for
people
some
come
reason.
Down, and here I come, and they're freaking out. They're like, you know, like this. And I was so tempted to look at myself and go, what happened? You know?
That's a
so it's like, you like that? That would be really cool if I could get this.
This part is when he's on the stage. You'll be able to see it.
One, two, three, four. Yeah. There you go. You like
Every once in a while, you meet people who overcome tremendous obstacles to reach their goals. There are other times, rarer still, when you meet a person who carries joy in spite of ongoing suffering.
That's weird.
These are people you don't forget easily. But there is a person who I've come to know recently that does both of these things quite remarkably.
Winter will end.
His story is one of perseverance and hope, and his name is Nick Vujicic.
Your heart will mend.
Born in 1982 in Brisbane, Australia, Nick was born without arms or legs. Although his body was different, his parents realized that his mind and spirit were just as sharp and alive as any other young boy. Even though Nick has no limbs, he has touched thousands in ways deeper than a hand ever could. He himself is a living witness to not giving up when life brings the unexpected. Nick has faced the obstacles that living without limbs brings head on, participating in activities that many would say are impossible for a man with his limitations. Nick has not only learned to do many of the everyday things, he has worked hard to enjoy the recreational side of life as well. Nick's physical feats are impressive. It is his passion for encouraging others that is most remarkable.
You see, it's very hard to smile sometimes in life. There are things that happen that you don't know and you don't understand, and you don't know if you're going to get through it. You know, you go through your storms in life and you don't know how long the storm's going to be.
Nick travels all over the U.S. and the world, encouraging youth and adults alike to never give up. His perspective is powerful. Nick's story is far from over, but it could have been much different. His faith has given him the perseverance to get up, even if he had to use something besides hands to get him there.
God loves you, and he hasn't forgotten your pain. He hasn't forgotten your family. And maybe while you're watching this interview, you've compared your suffering to my suffering. And that's not where hope is, to know that someone else, in your opinion, is suffering more than you. That's not where hope is. But hope is in the name of God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is when you compare your suffering to the infinite, immeasurable love and grace of God. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, that shall mount up on wings as eagles." I didn't need my circumstance to change. I don't need arms and legs. I need the wings of the Holy Spirit. And I'm flying because I know Jesus is holding me up. Don't give up on God, because God will not give up on you.
Well, we just go. For some reason, the tracking is off on that. Was that good or what? Oh, my goodness. So don't give up on God. Hold on to what we're doing. Hold on to what God's doing in your life. There are things that the Lord says to give up on. You know that. So whatever the Lord says, give up on, freely give it up. Because this ain't a time to play around with the hand of God. So whatever he says, give up. Give up. Freely give it up. Whatever he says, hold on to. Hold on to. And we will be able to go through these hard times in his strength. If not, I wouldn't want to be anybody who's not living the way of the Lord. Because these are not going to be pretty times if we're out doing our own thing. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that there is nothing that is hidden from you. Lord, you have put your hand on areas in our life that you desire to clean out. Lord, may we freely give those things to you. Holy Spirit, that you would uproot them, and Lord, that it would be replaced with the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, I thank you for your fruit that comes to minister to us. Lord, your love and your joy. Replace the things that need to be replaced. And Lord, bring deliverance where there needs to be deliverance. Bring understanding where there needs to be understanding. And Lord, heal us where there needs to be a healing. We thank you, Holy Spirit. May we hold on to your truths that we have heard this morning. May we initiate them and practice them. And Lord, that we would know that you desire us to finish this race complete as mature men and women in the Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I went 5 minutes over. That one video when he was doing this with his little foot, he calls it his flipper, that's when he was playing that music. So he was playing it. No, yeah, he was playing it on one of those things. So...